Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
With Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome back to the show. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Michael Jenkins, she's Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, our power rankings have shifted in a big way. We'll tell you where we stand before Week 10 gets underway. What was I going to tell you? I forgot. Something I thought about yesterday. Yeah, slipped my mind. I'll figure it out. Oh! Do I want to talk about that tomorrow? Yeah, I'll talk about it tomorrow. It's a better topic for tomorrow. I don't know. Here's something that I thought you would find interesting. Tiger Woods' son. You're a golf gal. You love golf. Jake's a golf guy. Mm-hmm. Is he still watching a lot of golf? Is he up right now?
Oh, yeah.
Watching the 1968 U.S. Women's Open?
He's definitely not up now. I can hear him snoring. But he watches the Golf Channel all the time still. We are watching amateur matches. We are watching the ladies play golf. So, of course, we are clued in on Charlie Woods.
Oh, well, okay. I was going to say, Charlie has been named a first-team All-American by the American Junior Golf Association. One of 12 members of the team, Woods is a junior at the Benjamin School in South Florida. When I see Carlos Boozer's son at Duke, and I see Charlie Woods as a high school junior being named an All-American, that's something that makes me feel incredibly old, because I'm like, I remember watching your daddy play in Durham. And I remember watching your father win majors, and now here you are about to be on tour again. Man, it's unbelievable. But it's going to be so much fun to watch these guys develop and evolve over time, too.
I think the most fascinating part of Charlie Woods is how we will see Tiger Woods act as a father. Because I think we've talked about this on the show before, that I always think of that Saturday Night Live sketch where it's Tiger Woods when he's five, and they're showing those like home videos of his dad, like, taping a club to his hands, and he's talked about how hard his dad was on him, and it kind of molded him into the golfer that he was, that was mentally one of the most resilient athletes that we've ever seen. Somebody who would run miles and miles in combat boots, and some that kind of contributed to the injuries he had later, it feels like, in golf. But I wonder if he is going to be hard on Charlie Woods, or if he's going to take a step back and be like, hey, like, I also want this kid, you know, to not hate me and not, like, you know, crumble and, you know, have all these things that happen when you have a really tough father. So I think that's the most interesting part, is to see what type of a father figure role Tiger Woods will play to Charlie Woods.
Yeah, you never know. From what you see in public, he looks like he's very docile and very supportive of Charlie. But you never really know. Like, there's this old skit on SNL, which is really funny. It's very old, but it's from the Reagan days when Ronald Reagan was president, and Reagan was considered very genteel and very lovable. Like, when he won the election in, what, 84, every single state except for one was counted for Ronald Reagan. Imagine that, like an entire country around one president. It was pretty remarkable. But he was seen as kind of this grandfather figure and very kind. And so there's this skit on SNL that basically points out, hey, you never really know who someone is behind the scenes, right? And so someone walks into the Oval Office and he goes, well, you sure did do a great job selling Girl Scout cookies. Congratulations. Okay, take a picture. And then the girl walks out, and as soon as the door closes, he goes, back to work! You know, just like loses his mind and yelling at people. So you never know how people are behind the scenes. I don't think Tiger is like that, but I mean, you never know. His dad was definitely hard on him.
Well, and I think Tiger Woods himself has softened in like the past few years, to where it used to be when he was playing, and I understand he's not playing right now, but back in his heyday when he was playing, people wouldn't talk to him on the course. Mm-mm. And he was like this intimidating figure that nobody even wanted to look at. And then, like, later on in his career, you'd see him, like, cutting up with some of the younger guys. He would be, you know, making jokes. And he just felt more relatable almost, which is crazy to say about somebody like Tiger Woods. But it's similar to what we saw with, like, Nick Saban. Like, remember, mm-hmm. like, the last year of his coaching career where he was, like, saying nice things? You're like,
yeah,
what's going on? Why is he saying nice things to the media? So sometimes people soften as they get older. So I don't know. Maybe Tiger Woods is a little bit softer now than, like, say, he used to be, like, 10, 15 years ago.
I think that's absolutely the case. One guy who's never soft, my guy, He-Man. Double D!
Jenks and Chelsea tell you who has the power.
This is a power struggle.
After the weekend in the NFL.
Best team ever.
All right. Power rankings time, Chelsea. Let's start with you. You're dancing over there. I feel like you're ready to go.
Ah, all right. So let's start from the top. So we have quite a shakeup in my rankings. But okay. Here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and, like, put my feet in the sand and be like, I'm not changing. No, these are going to be changed week to week based on who wins the big games. And speaking of, the Buffalo Bills won the big one over the Kansas City Chiefs last week. So I'm going to go Bills at the number one spot simply because we knew that Josh Allen and that offense is amazing and usually mm-hmm. unstoppable. But I have questions about the defense. And I think that the defense showed us a lot in that game against Kansas City. So if they can keep progressing towards the end of the season, this is a Bills team that looks like the best in football. And speaking of the Chiefs, got them at number two. The defense is still very good, but it's very hard to stop Josh Allen and company, and especially all those tight ends that they employ. So I still think the Chiefs are one of those teams that are probably going to be one of the teams that probably compete in the AFC Championship. They have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And that offense. Number three, you're going to go with the Patriots here. Their offense still looks really good. Drake May has still not shown, you know, signs of slowing down as a young quarterback. I really believe in Mike Vrabel. It scares me a little bit that they didn't do too much at the trade deadline, but I still think the Patriots are a very, very good team. Number four, we're going to go with the Lions. It's hard to, you know, look at the Lions and be like, oh, well, they should be higher in the rankings when they keep, you know, blowing me off when it comes to some of these survivor plays. You lose to the Vikings? Come on, man. Can't be doing that. So my rankings are based week to week. If you have a tough loss, I got to scoot you down in the rankings. So the Lions are further down. And speaking of, the Colts with a loss as well, but still statistically one of the most dominant teams in the NFL. I know it's very easy to say, well, this is who Daniel Jones is, but it was one game. And this is still a team that does not need Daniel Jones to stand on his head for them to have a great game. They still have Jonathan Taylor. They still have a great defense. And speaking of the trade deadline, they just picked up Sauce Gardner, who, you know, career allowing just 50% completion rate to opposing quarterbacks on the guys that he is covering. So I think the Colts are still in the top five for me. Honorable mention goes to the Eagles, but the Lions and the Eagles play this week. So we will have, you know, some movement based on the outcome of that game.
All right. What am I going to do here? I have a team at number one that wasn't even in my rankings last week, but I'm with you. I'm going to start at the bottom, though. Here we go. Number five, the Eagles. The Eagles are just that team. They just keep hanging around, third favorite to win the Super Bowl, sitting there at, if my vision is correct, plus 850 right behind the Bills and the Chiefs. So I'm not quite sure the Eagles really like each other. I don't know if they're having a good time, but I do know that they have the talent to win it all. Obviously, the defending world champions, and on any given Sunday, they can beat and compete with anyone. Also, the Eagles have the feel of that team that might just decide, okay, it's the playoffs. Maybe we're not all best friends. Let's go win another title. At four, first appearance this year in the top five, Patriots. How about that? It took me a while to buy in on this team just because when you're coming off, what, a four-win season, then you put it together again. Are you legitimate or not? We have finally seen enough from New England to know this is a legitimate team. They have looked good all season. They're well coached. We know that. Drake May has been fantastic in his second season. He looks like he is going to be one of the next superstars in the NFL. He's already ascending on that trek. So they're at four. At three, got the Lions. I'm not worried about the Lions losing to the Vikings last week. It wasn't a great loss, but ultimately we see all the tools that they have on offense. And that division, like the NFC North is so fascinating because all those teams are just going to beat up on each other all season long. Division games are tough like that, so I'm not punishing Detroit too much because of that loss. Here we go again. It's the Chiefs. Fine. They lost to the Bills. This is what they do. They lose during the regular season to Buffalo, and then they'll play again in the postseason, and who knows, maybe this is the year that Buffalo finally rises up. We've only been saying that for 3 or 4 years. And then I'm with you. Number one, let's go Buffalo. I didn't even have them in the top five last week, so I understand this seems a little overreactionary, but at the end of the day, Buffalo is still Buffalo, and you tend to forget that after they have a really bad performance like they had against Carolina. When they want to show up, they can show up, and they keep winning at a really high rate and looking great. That defense does look better, even though, yes, they're still banged up. So Buffalo goes number one.
Well, go and if you believe Bills, the odds makers.
For we are here to cheer for you. Go Bills, we are your fans so true.
So true.
With victory in sight, we'll yell with all our might. So go Bills, fight Bills, go.
Go. Can't believe that hasn't come back.
All right. Okay, so if you believe the odds makers, the Chiefs and Bills have the two shortest odds to win the Super Bowl as well. So it's not just us being, well, these are good teams. And plus, I feel like when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, you don't really have to explain yourself too much because the postseason experience is there. And I did want to correct myself because I said the Eagles play the Lions next. They play the Packers next and then the Lions. But still, back-to-back tough matchups for the NFC North and the Eagles. So we'll see what the Eagles are made of over these next 2 weeks.
We're going to find out. What is your take on Philly? I keep saying it over and over. Like, I just don't know how much they are enjoying the process right now. They're winning. They have the pedigree. But are they going to put it together and make a run and sort of put their differences aside? Maybe that's being melodramatic. I think it's the A.J. Brown thing.
I think that they still deserve that, like, reserved credit that we give to like the Chiefs and the Bills, right? Because like it's the same deal with like the Chiefs earlier in the season. They didn't look that great, but they're still the Chiefs, and the Eagles just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they certainly did. So they're always going to be right there. Coming up next, Week 10 is here. And if ESPN and YouTube get their acts together, maybe we can watch some of it. That'd be nice as well. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.